Good day, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, November 12th, 2024. And from the front page of the Commercial News, the first story we have today is titled, County Board to Appoint New Board of Health Members. And this story is by Kayla White. Four new members are joining the Vermilion County Board of Health. Effective today, Board of Health President Brad Gross of Potomac is resigning. Samuel Gross of Tilton will fill his seat for a three-year term, which will end in October of 2027. Also resigning is Paula Pagin from her post as Vice President. Her seat will be filled by Stevenson Harvey, who will serve a three-year term. Harvey is an insurance agent out of Danville. Both men have been appointed as members of the board, but the president and vice president roles will be assigned according to a vote. To become a member of the Board of Health, there is an application and acceptance process, but no specific acceptance requirements, such as expertise in a health field, according to Vermilion County Board Chair Larry Bond. Even so, Bond says the coming year will bring them plenty to keep them busy. It will probably be a pretty big year for them, starting the new STD clinic over there, getting that going again, Bond said. They've been applying for grants and working on that for several years, trying to get that back after they lost it. Along with Samuel Gross and Harvey, several others will be joining the Board of Health. Ricky Mahajan will replace outgoing board member Dr. Sabia Haque, a local pediatrician whose term is expiring. Deanna Witzel of Danville will fill the seat vacated by Connie Ostrander, who is resigning from her post. Two other members will be reappointed after their terms recently expired, Reverend Philip G. Jackson and Dean Shore. The Vermilion County Board will hold its next meeting at 6 p.m. tonight at the Vermilion County Administration Building at 201 North Vermilion Street in Danville. And we have North Pole Magic. This year's Festival of Trees is underway, featuring the theme North Pole Magic. Since 1997, the Festival of Trees has been one of Vermilion County's most beloved events, with people coming from near and far to enjoy local entertainment, photos with Santa, delicious cookies, and a competition for best Christmas tree design to name a few annual staples of the event. In 2020, direction of the event was handed over from OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center to Balloons Over Vermilion. Both events are currently directed by a steering committee, with the Festival of Trees being co-chaired by Jana and Mark Goodwin. 100% of the net proceeds from both events go toward benefiting children in Vermilion County and beyond, according to Jana Goodwin. In the past, the group has donated to groups such as the Danville YMCA, the Danville Public School Foundation, the Children's Dyslexia Center of East Central Illinois, and Crosspoint Human Services, to name a few. And our final front page item today from the Commercial News is a story from CNHI News Indiana, titled Allen Found Guilty in Delphi Murder Trial, and this is by Kim Dunlap. Delphi, Indiana. After 4 days and over 18 hours of deliberation, a jury found Delphi murder suspect Richard Allen guilty Monday afternoon in the February 2017 deaths of teenagers Libby German and Abby Williams. Allen had been facing 2 counts of felony murder and 2 counts of intentional murder prior to his conviction, charges that could land Allen in prison for up to 130 years. The Kokomo Tribune was inside the courtroom when the guilty verdicts were read aloud Monday by Judge Francis Gull, the presiding judge in the case, and there was an audible gasp from the gallery when the verdicts were issued. There were also several tears shed by members of the girls' families, as well as members of Allen's family. As for Allen, the Carroll County man appeared visibly emotionless and motionless as Gull read through each of the four counts against him, continuing to stare forward at the judge's bench a few feet in front of him. And then at one point, after the verdicts were officially read, Allen looked back toward his family in the gallery and motioned the words, "Are you okay?" with his mouth. It's unclear who he was directing that comment to. A few minutes later, Allen was led out of the courtroom in handcuffs. After Allen left the courtroom, several investigators embraced Carroll County Prosecutor Nick McClelland, who returned their hugs with a smile. Nearby, Becky Patty, German's grandmother, and Anna Williams, Abby's mother, also shared a long embrace and a few visible tears. It's been a long 7.5 years for both sides of the case, the prosecution and defense, as well as the community as a whole. That seemed evident Monday as word began to spread outside the courthouse of Allen's guilty verdict. Cries of "Justice for Abby and Libby" rang out along the sidewalks outside the courthouse Monday, as others simply shouted, "Today's the day." One of those supporters was Delphi resident Timothy Harper, a member of the community for around 35 years. "We are a family here," he told a group of media that surrounded him a few minutes after the verdict was rendered. "You can go to a door and knock, and they will help you. We have been waiting to take this weight off of us. God was here today." "Today is their day," Harper added, referring to German and Williams. Sarah Ausbrook, who lives in southern Indiana but has been following the case for years, shared similar sentiments. "Always believe in prayer, and today is definitely that day," Ausbrook said, smiling, adding she prayed Monday morning outside the courthouse for a resolution in the case. Ausbrook also began a Facebook group a few years ago honoring the girls, and she said she's working on current legislation that would prohibit the release of crime scene photos and the pathologist's report in the Delphi case. "Our baby girls should never be sold," she said. Allen is due back inside Carroll Circuit Court for a sentencing hearing at 9 a.m. on December 20th. That is also when he could file an appeal if he chooses to do so. And we'll turn now to some other stories from the local pages of the Commercial News. Our next story is titled, "Program Aims to Connect Veterans with Essential Services." And this is a staff report. As Veterans Day passes and the holiday season nears, Illinois Joining Forces, IJF, is relaunching Operation Connect a Vet, a program designed to link veterans, their families, and essential services. With the veteran population in Illinois growing, so does the need for targeted support that addresses both immediate needs and long-term well-being. "We recognize the incredible strength of veterans, but even the strongest among us benefit from support," said Erica Bargren, board chairwoman of Illinois Joining Forces. "As a family member or friend, you can play a vital role in connecting veterans to the resources that can make a difference. This Veterans Day, let's honor their service by standing alongside them, ensuring they have access to the support they've earned." Illinois is home to 537,000 veterans, including 49,000 women, at least 700 veterans are homeless, and 7% live below the poverty line on any given day. In 2021, 6,392 veterans across the U.S. lost their lives to suicide, according to the 2023 National Veterans Suicide Prevention Annual Report. These numbers highlight the urgent need for accessible support, ranging from housing and health services to financial assistance and job opportunities, all of which can help prevent suicide by addressing root causes of distress. Veterans don't always ask for help, and that's why we must offer support proactively, said Brenda Osach, IJF Executive Director. With Operation Connect a Vet, family members and friends have a straightforward way to connect veterans with the essential services that they need. This program helps veterans navigate housing, employment, financial assistance, and benefits, preventing serious matters before they happen, Osach said. This campaign runs from November through December, a time when many veterans face increased isolation and challenges. Operation Connect a Vet ensures that veterans and their families do not have to navigate these challenges alone. For more information, visit www.illinoisjoiningforces.org. Illinois Joining Forces is a nonprofit organization in Illinois that collaborates with a statewide network of providers to connect service members, veterans, and their families with the resources that they need, precisely when and where they need them. Next, we have another staff report titled, Winter is Coming, Are You Ready? Tips for winterizing your home and preparing your vehicle ahead of the cold. And this is a staff report. While it doesn't feel quite like winter yet, temperatures are dipping to freezing some nights, and that means it's time to get ready for the cold. As temperatures begin to fall, it's a good time to take stock of preparedness items. Illinois Emergency Management Agency and Office of Homeland Security Director Alicia Tate-Nadeau says timing is everything. If you take steps now to be ready for bitter winds, snow, and ice, you'll be grateful during the first storm, Tate-Nadeau said. Each of us needs to think about preparing our home, offices, school, vehicle, and family for the worst because extreme cold and blizzards can be deadly. Tate-Nadeau explained that there's little chance of escaping winter weather. Last winter, from December of 2023 through March of 2024, we had 4 snow or ice storms that impacted Illinois. The previous winter, from November of 2022 through March of 2023, there were 10 snow or ice storms that impacted Illinois. There has not been a winter in Illinois without at least one winter storm in the past century, Tate-Nadeau said. This year, winter weather advisories will be simpler to understand than ever, making it that much easier to prepare in advance of dangerous storms. Wind chill watches, warnings, and advisories have been eliminated. Instead, they have been consolidated into extreme cold watches and warnings, and cold weather advisories, National Weather Service Central Illinois Warning Coordination Meteorologist Ed Scheinman said. Winterizing your home is critical just before winter. This process includes checking walls and attics for insulation, weatherizing doors and windows, insulating water pipes, detaching and draining water hoses, ceiling leaks, having extra fuel for heating, reviewing safety instructions for each preparation office and school preparations are similar and include procedures for notifying staff and students about closing and transportation. For more information about travel preparedness, visit gettingaroundillinois.com. Residents can find more tips in the IEMA Winter Weather Preparedness Guide as well as the Ready Illinois and National Weather Service winter prep sites. And now we're going to turn to the obituaries for Tuesday, November 12th. The first today is for Ken Eugene Martin. Kenneth Eugene Martin, 63, of Oakwood, Illinois, passed away at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville on November 7, 2024. A celebration of life will be held at 10 a.m. on Friday, November 15th, at Ridgeview Baptist Church, 3838 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park. A visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, November 14th, at Ridgeview Baptist Church. The family has requested that those in attendance of the visitation wear Illini or Chicago Cubs attire in honor of Ken. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville is assisting the family with arrangements, and memorials may be made in Ken's memory to Ridgeview Baptist Church. Wendy Staley. Wendy Staley, 57, died at 5:50 p.m. Friday, November 8, 2024, at OSF St. Francis Medical Center in Peoria. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Friday at Anderson Funeral Home at 427 East Main Street in Hoopston. Pastor Micah Mobley will officiate, and burial will be in Floral Hill Cemetery in Hoopston. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday at the funeral home. Donald Swearingen. Donald Swearingen, 83, of Danville, died Monday, November 11, 2024, in Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Watson Cremation Services, 1511 Greenwood Cemetery Road, in Danville. And that's the end of the obituaries for today. We're going to turn now for a moment to the sports pages and the commercial news for a story titled Historical Victory. Blue Devils set school record, advanced to Class 2A quarterfinals. And this is by Chad Dare. Bismarck. History is part of the curriculum at every high school, including Bismarck Henning Rossville Alvin. Learning about how the United States was formed and some of the key individuals in the process is one thing, but getting the opportunity to write your own page in your school's history is something very unique. On Saturday afternoon at Peyton Moss Field, the Bismarck Henning Rossville Alvin Blue Devils did that with a 21-14 victory over the Seneca Fighting Irish in a second-round game of the IHSA Class 2A playoffs. With the victory, this group of Blue Devils established a new school record for wins in a season, 11, and they became just the second team in program history to reach the quarterfinals. "I think we really cemented ourselves as the best team in school history," said BHRA senior Evan Parrish, who accounted for 178 yards and 2 touchdowns. "We knew going into the second, no one else knew, but we knew from the beginning that was what we were going to do this year, and that's what we were going to be. We're not done yet, but what about a possible second-round curse?" "It's always been a thing since I've been here my freshman year," Parrish said. "But we don't believe in curses. We don't believe in any of that. We knew going into this game that it wasn't going to be any sort of a curse that was going to hold us back. It was going to be how well we played." I'm sure a lot of people in the community and the county thought the second round is where our season was done, but we're still going. A big reason that second-seeded Blue Devils are advancing to the state quarterfinals was a defense that held the Fighting Irish, who were 9-2, to just 14 points after the Fighting Irish came into the contest averaging 34.3 per game. "We did the job on the defensive side," said Parrish, who had a team-high 12 tackles. "They were a tough team, but we just matched them." And while the Seneca run game was held to 135 yards, Bismarck and Rossall rolled up 184, with Parrish leading the charge with 121, and Ethan Dubois contributed 45. It was quite a bit different than BHRA's first-round playoff game with Erie Prophetstown, where the Blue Devils had just 64 rushing yards. "Last week, we made a lot of mistakes," said BHRA junior lineman Connor Powell. "This week in practice, we fixed everything, and we knew what we had to do to get it done." Powell also had a hand in his team's rushing statistics with 2 carries for 10 yards, including an important third down conversion in the fourth quarter. "I used to carry the ball all the time when I was younger," he said. "Now, I don't get to do it too often, so when I do, I really try my hardest." "So what's it like to be on offensive lineman, carrying the football on short yardage situations?" "I always get nervous," Powell admitted. "I'm always scared that I might mess up. But at the end of the day, you just have to do what the coach says, and when he says run the ball, it has to be done." The Blue Devils built a 14-0 lead in the first half on a 3-yard run from Parrish and 52-yard pass from Anderson Thomas to Parrish. The Fighting Irish got things turned around in the final minutes of the first half with 2 touchdowns from Cameron Shirey, but scores came after big turning point plays on special teams. First, there was the fake punt, which I think was a read play, and we didn't have anyone in that space. And Shirey made a great run. Biz Han Rossall coach Mark Dodd said, "The second one, I'm not sure, was a purposeful onside kick, but they made a short pooch kick and got a great bounce." Their quarterback, Paxton Geertz, then threw a ball between 2 defenders for a big completion. At some point, you tip your hat to them, making plays. We saw them do it all year on film. Seneca's hold on the momentum of the game was turned around on the first drive after halftime. Bizhan Rossall ran 11 plays, gaining just 31 yards thanks to a third down conversion and a fourth down conversion. "We were able to switch the field," Dodd said. "We ran the wing tee efficiently, enough to grind out and get first downs. But then we switched to the spread at just the right time. We also came up with 1 turnover. Kyan Jones knocked the ball out, and Ethan Hall recovered it. That was a big turning point." Thomas threw his 2nd touchdown pass of the game on the first play of the fourth quarter, as his 6-yard pass to Chaz Dubois proved to be the game winner. The Blue Devils ran off the final 8 minutes and 29 seconds thanks to Ethan Dubois taking a knee at the 2-yard line. "If you score, you have to kick the ball back to them," Dodd said. Ethan listened to what we were saying. He could have scored, but he downed it at the 2, and we were able to knee it to end the game. Bismarck Henning Rossville Alvin advances to play Chicago Christian in the Class 2A quarterfinals. Saturday's game will be played in Palos Heights, and the kickoff is set for 5 p.m. And returning to some other local stories from the commercial news, we have another staff report titled "Semmersheim Joins American Angus Association." Molly Semmersheim of Rossville is a new member of the American Angus Association, according to Mark McCulley, CEO of the National Breed Organization headquartered in St. Joseph, Missouri. Semmersheim is the manager of the Teaching Animal Program at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign's Department of Veterinary Clinical Medicine. She is currently researching in vitro production of tropically adapted beef and dairy cattle for the developing world. With more than 21,000 active adult and junior members, the American Angus Association is the largest beef breed association in the world. Its computerized records include detailed information on over 21 million registered Angus. The association records ancestral information and keeps production records and genomic data on individual animals to develop industry-leading selection tools for its members. The programs and services of the association and its entities, Angus Genetics Incorporated, Angus Media, Certified Angus Beef LLC, and the Angus Foundation, help members advance the beef cattle business by selecting the best animals for their herds and marketing quality genetics for the beef cattle industry and quality beef for consumers. Next up is DACC Board of Trustees seeking to fill vacancy. And this is another staff report. Danville Area Community College's Board of Trustees is seeking to fill a vacancy following the recent resignation of Board Chair David W. Harvey. Harvey stepped down October 25th after 25 years of service on the board due to medical concerns. Eligible applicants must be a U.S. citizen who is at least 18 years of age and has qualified elector registered voter status, as well as established residency within Community College District 507. It should be noted that individuals serving on a common school board would be ineligible for re-election to that position while serving on the DACC Board of Trustees. The individual appointed to this position will serve until the next consolidated election scheduled for April 1st of 2025. Interested applicants are invited to submit a resume and a letter of interest addressed to the Secretary to the Board of Trustees at Danville Area Community College, 2000 East Main Street, Danville, Illinois, 61832. Submissions may also be sent via email to k.thurman@dacc.edu. All application materials must be received no later than 4 p.m. on November 18th. For additional information or questions, please contact the Secretary to the Board of Trustees at 217-443-8850. And we have the Star of the Month at Liberty Village. Crystal Moore was chosen as Star of the Month for October at Liberty Village of Danville. Moore is a CNA at Hawthorne Inn, where she was nominated by both peers and management. Crystal takes great pride in providing kind, compassionate, and exceptional care to residents. She cares deeply for everyone she takes care of. "We are proud to have her as a member of our team," said Lori Horton, Director of Nursing. For more information about Liberty Village of Danville, call Amy Thompson at 217-497-1602. And from Community Briefs, we have Kennecuck County Park to host Owl Night. Owl Night will take place from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. tonight at the Kennecuck County Parks Education Center at 22-296 Henning Road in Danville. University of Illinois students in a field-based course on northern saw-whet owl ecology will share information about the migration and behavior of owls in central Illinois through interactive indoor and outdoor activity stations, crafts, and more. Come learn about owl life, history, ecology, behavior, and what you can do to help conserve these unique animals. It's a free event, open to all ages, with no pre-registration needed. For more info, call 217-442-1691. And that takes us to the end of our time for this Tuesday, November 12th, 2024. As always, it's been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope you have a great day. Take care.